So does anybody remember like your first day of class or the first day of a new job or a time when, you know, you all of a sudden you sit down. I remember when I first got to seminary and my first class was a church history class, and I'd never written a graduate level paper. And, you know, the professor, Father Dominic Holtz, was describing what our final paper was going to be like. And he says, okay, well, you're going to have to write 20 pages. And this is called a state of the question paper, so we need at least 30 references. And I hadn't been in school for over 12 years. I hadn't even written a two-page paper in 12 years, and I'm going, you have got to be kidding me. I have never done anything like that in my life. And I, you know, and at that point, I thought, you know what, I am in so far over my head. What am I doing here, Lord? I imagine that that's how the 72, I imagine that's how those people that God sent out, he sent them out in groups of two, so there were 36 groups of people that he sent out. And listen to that particular difficulties. I mean, it sounds like he's piling all kinds of stuff on them. Okay, don't take a walking stick, don't take any sandals, don't take a spare clothes, don't take any money. Wherever you go, just kind of just walk in and say, here I am, you got a place for me to stay. And once you get there, even if, okay, and here's an interesting part. Even once you do find a place for someone to, you know, that has decided to take you in, don't trade up. You know, if the first person you met was the poorest person in town and they just extend their hospitality to you, and the richest person then comes to you a couple days later and say, hey, why don't you come over to my place? It's more like the Hilton. You know, no, you stay and accept what's there. And I can imagine, because you got to remember, is that these people had maybe known Jesus for about a year and a half at this point. This is toward the beginning of his public ministry. And none of them were actually trained in how to go out and preach and how to go out and evangelize and all those type of things. So I imagine it was pretty difficult for them. And really, the lesson I think that Jesus was trying to get across was that if we can get to the point in our life where we're willing to trust God for everything, where we're willing to abandon all of our own hopes and dreams and just be able to say, you know what, God, what I have is enough. You know, this idea of the Jerusalem that's described, you know, of course, these are the exiles that are coming back that are being preached to in our first reading today. They've been enslaved and they're getting ready to come home. And, you know, there was a great expectation that once they got there, that everything was going to be perfect. And it was probably still difficult for them, but I think really the point that the writer of our first reading today is talking about is this notion that once we get to the point where we can be happy with what we have, where we can totally rely on God, where we can just completely be at peace with our situation, we will have exactly what's being described in that first reading. You know, that idea of being comfortably embraced by God and held in God's arms and just being content there. You know, for a lot of, especially younger people, I know I remember when I was in college, I was a business major. And, you know, I had this big, long list of things that, you know, once I have the corner office, once I have the company car, once I have the the expense account, and at that point, believe it or not, cell phones were so expensive. It's once I get my own cell phone, my own company cell phone, you know, then I'll be happy, then I'll have made it. You know, and I had all these goals, and I worked for them, and I worked for the same company for 10 years, and when I got all that stuff, it was just kind of like, it's not great. You know, I had the big salary, I had the office, I had all of that, and it wasn't until I was able to enter into... Part of our gospel today is what's called the Master of the Harvest Prayer. I don't know if you've ever heard, it's a prayer for vocations. There's one, it says, you know, pray therefore for the Master of the Harvest that he may have workers for his fields. We pray therefore for all priests, sisters, brothers, and deacons, those you've called in the past, those you're calling now, and those you'll call in the future. And about the time that I was coming to the realization that, you know, all of those things that I thought that I wanted, you know, all of my goals, once all my goals had been met and I wasn't all that happy, you know, I started kind of getting into my faith. And I started praying that Master of the Harvest prayer for vocations, you know, other people's vocations, not mine. We're supposed to pray for them, right? And it dawned on me somewhere in the middle that as I prayed that, you know, those you're calling now, it kind of started calling to me. And actually, you know, with my vocational path, I actually had to kind of do what the 72 did to get to the point where I could be absolutely scared by that paper that, you know, that my first graduate school professor had talked to me about. But it really wasn't until, you know, that surrender was made, that total turning around and say, okay, God, I'm in your hands, that can really make a difference. Now, for our younger folks out there, you know, it really does mean being content with what you have, being able to say, okay, you know, I might not have the greatest computer, I might not have the best car, I might not have all of the latest and greatest things, but really, I mean, that's not where happiness lies. Happiness lies in allowing God to love us, like we hear about those people in Jerusalem in the first reading. And even St. Paul talks about it in the second reading. You know, he mentions this idea of, I only boast in Christ crucified. And he says, you know, I go out and I can do this because I bear the wounds of Christ in my own body. In other words, he's sacrificed, he's given his life over to the Lord, and he's not complaining at all. He's saying, look, this is pretty good. I can go out and I can do this because it's God working through me and not me thinking that I'm running the show. And that kind of applies to all of us. So let's think about it. Where in our lives can each and every one of us just give a little bit more to God? Just surrender a little bit more and say, you know what? You know, I might want this thing or I might want that thing. I'll tell you what, God, I'll let you take care of it. I'll be happy with what you can provide for me. Just one item. You know, and if you can start doing that, life becomes a lot easier because you're a lot more content. You're happy with what you have, and you're not chasing after things that are going to drive you crazy and sometimes make you do things that you might not have thought were possible. Might make you cross some lines that you thought, you know, when that ambition steps in, that's where we make life difficult for ourselves. So just think about that for a moment. And you know, just pray, and over the next week, just say, okay, what can I give over to God a little more thoroughly so that I can be more happy?